Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
We are gathered here on holy ground, God's ground, and we bow before Him. And this past 2 weeks, in fact 2 days, I've been reflecting about our awesome God, but the big aspect of God that I've been reflecting on is that God is a king. And here in Uganda and in Africa, without human kings, people will bow before them as a sign of honor. The greatest bow is to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're not ashamed as His people to bow down before Him and worship Him. That's what we've been doing, my friends. Worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we will never be ashamed to bow before Him. What a joy it is to see you all in church today. Those who are joining online, welcome to church, where we get to honor the King of Kings. So good. And this week is a big week of honor. We're going to honor King Jesus for all He has done. You know, we all have passions for the future. We have dreams of the things we want God to do. But every now and then, you need to stop, look back, see what God has done, and give the King thanks for what He has done. That's what it's going to be about. We're going to thank God in a big way. Tomorrow and Tuesday, Wednesday, we're going to be praying and thanking God, but also lifting up the events that are coming. Thursday, we begin the celebration, and our founders, Pastor Gary and Marilyn, Pastor Gary particularly, has written a book that captures our story from when God called them. And we're going to launch this book. So we are so happy that here is a written record of the King's story when it comes to Watoto, where faith lit the way. Make sure you get yourself a copy. This is an incredible journey that Gary decided to write. You know, as pastors, here's what happens. Here's what I know. Many of you see us on stage, then maybe we bump into each other in the corridors. We may meet in some places, and you assume that what is on stage and what you see on the corridor is everything there is for a pastor. Man, we go through stuff. We go through some fears. People will attack us. I mean, we go through some anxious moments. You know what Pastor Gary has done? He's written everything that is experienced through the journey so that He can encourage you. If you're a person of faith, your faith in Christ will light the way to your future, where faith led the way. Please order your copy. Last week and the other weeks, we realized that one of the systems we had set up, many of you were ordering at the same time and the system was struggling. So you can do that now by Momo and pay for your book, pre-order your copy, and on Thursday, you'll get your copy here when you come. We will be launching the book here. Pastor Gary and Marilyn will be doing it right here where the stories began to start. So come and be a part of that amazing on Thursday evening. Friday evening, we're going to be back here to celebrate 30 years of caring for vulnerable children and women. An amazing journey. You've seen some of them on stage leading us. One of them is pastoring our youth here. It's just been a journey. Come, and it's going to be so fun because we're going to go through some of what the first choirs looked like. We've sent out over 110 choirs. It's going to be a fun time, memory lane, and we're going to give thanks to God for all He has done. So Friday evening, all roads lead here. Saturday, shopping day. Okay? We cannot just celebrate 40 years anyhow. Go and shop.
And then get ready for Sunday. Don't just buy clothes. Buy food as well. Start cooking in your cell at home. Invite your friends. Because on Sunday, the moment you get to Kololo, because Sunday, if you come here, left behind. We're all going to be at Kololo, the entire Watoto Church family and friends. We're going to be gathered there for a big celebration to say thank you for 40 years of Watoto Church. Gosh, it's going to be amazing. We start at 11, the service will come before that. A great service, special speaker is going to be sharing God's work. It's going to be amazing, amazing. And then once we are done with the worship, we're going to eat. That's why I'm telling you to cook, starting on Saturday. Because when you're giving thanks, you eat. And we're going to eat a lot of food. Invite your friends, the food that you've cooked, all right? As the one we're going to eat, it's going to be amazing. And some of the Watoto children are joining us. They'll be, you know, joining your families and yourselves for food. It's going to be fantastic. Right after eating, we are going for a praise party. The biggest in Kampala. We're going to really say thank you, Lord, by launching officially our Watoto album. All right? Worship album. Send us. It's going to be fantastic. And then we are joined by special friends from Bethany Music. Pastor Jonathan Stockstill texted me yesterday and he was saying, we are getting excited. I told him we are ready. Just come. They will be joining us for a big praise party that evening, afternoon. So come and be a part of it. It's going to Kololo. Every taxi needs to bring people to Kololo. Okay? Don't go elsewhere. Kololo Independence Grounds will be on Sunday. And then on Tuesday, the following week, we'll be launching our Bobby Agricultural Institute up in Gulu. That's also going to be fantastic. We want to train the best farmers in Uganda and even in the region. So we're going to launch that work up there, which is superb. Now, we hadn't even mentioned this, but we got to let you know, after we've launched Watoto Worship and Bethany Worship Team are going for an East Africa tour. That's going to be superb. And we're going to go to Kigali in Rwanda. So if you have friends in Rwanda, tell them Watoto Worship and Bethany will be there Thursday and Friday. And we'll be doing sessions with pastors, young people, and worship sessions. And then have a big evening of worship. We're going to pray. But you know what the purpose of that tour is going to be? We want to really amplify the cause of God when it comes to the orphan and the widow. He has a heart for them. So the theme that is going to guide this tour is about God's heart for the vulnerable. And to rally that cry and to get churches engaged. So we do Kigali and then on the weekend we're going to be in Nairobi. Watoto Worship and Bethany. So it's going to be a great week. Please pray through those things. It's just going to be awesome. Now, last week we began a mini-series on vision and we talked about God's call, how he called Gary and Marilyn to come to Uganda and plant a church. And along the way, God calls people to be a part of the story. And it's just amazing. Every one of us has a special call on their lives from God. But when it comes to his church, he calls all of us to be a part of that call. Now, God's call requires a response. We must respond to that call and take that first step. There's another aspect to that call. God's call will usually get you out of your comfort zone and push you to a place of discomfort, but that's the place of your destiny. That's the place of your destiny. God's call will sometimes disrupt your normal routine and take you into an abnormal routine, but that's where God wants you to be so you can experience his supernatural power. That's what God's call does. And so I want us to watch the screen for a video on how God's call disrupted Pastor Gary's life and gave birth to what we are celebrating on Friday with Total Child Care Ministries. Let's watch the screen together.
It was about 2-3 years later, maybe not even quite that long, that we were hit by HIV/AIDS. We heard that it was what they called slim, because you got AIDS, you lost your weight, and no antiretrovirals. We found out later that we were one of the highest infection rates in the world, officially 27%, but it was more than that. And people started dying, and we started having funerals on a regular basis, and we also found out that we had the highest number of AIDS orphans in the world. We had a young man who lived in a town called Luero. He said, come up and visit us. He said, I want you to meet this grandmother. She was 76. Her husband had died. She had had 7 children. 6 of her own natural biological children had died. She had 26 of her own grandchildren living with her on that facility. She just began to break down. She said, I have no one to look after these kids. I'm old. I'm tired. I can't dig anymore. What am I going to do? And I said to her, don't worry about your children. We'll help you with your children. And it was a defining moment for me because I realized I couldn't pastor a great church and ignore the problems of the people. And it was during that time that God began to very clearly speak to me and one day said to me, he said, Gary, I want you to look after my children. He didn't say the children. He said, my children. Instantly, I knew that it was the orphan because the orphan, he's the father of the fatherless. And I knew I was to look after kids that had been orphaned as a result of, left parentless as a result of HIV/AIDS. And I argued with God. I said, I'm not interested. I don't want to look after kids. Kids pee their pants. They flatulate. I want to preach. I want to pastor. And God, Jesus said to me, he said, I didn't send you to Uganda to do what you want. I sent you to Uganda to do what I want. Look after my children.
Come on. That's God's call. Lord, as we share about what your call calls for, paying a price, speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. I did not send you to Uganda to do what you want to do. I sent you to Uganda to do what I want you to do. Many times we want to pursue God's call for our lives on our own terms. If it's his call, he has the terms that come alongside his call. And for Gary, it was that moment for him to realize it wasn't about just Watoro Church having fantastic services. It was about caring for the orphan and the widow. It's not something he had planned to do. It was God's call. You can see the struggle he had. Because he was enjoying doing church here. And God says, go and rescue my children. Vulnerable children. You heard him say, man, looking after children, they do all these things. But they're God's children. Do you know that one step of obedience and the willingness to look after children gave birth to a Total Child Care Ministries? We used to be called Kampala Pentecostal Church. But when Gary responded to that, God knew in 2024, we wouldn't be KPC. We would be Watoto Church. You see, when God's call gets you out of a place of comfort, it is about your destiny. It's about what God sees ahead. And it calls for you to pay a price. So I want to talk about the cost of pursuing God's call or God's vision for your life. We live in a world today, especially young people, where we want things pretty fast. Our internet, we used to think was fast when internet had started. Now, the adverts, super fast internet. Just get it right there. We want super fast foods. Immediately. We don't want to take, we want it now. That's what we want. Nowadays, there's also instant loans. Because you don't want to go through all this process of bring this. No, the advertisers say, come, in 3 hours, you have the money you need. It's just, we're in that. Almost, there's a generation that thinks life is like a video game. Instant, if I'm bored, I just press replay, I start. Instant. But my friends, listen to me. When it comes to God's call, there's no instant. It's always a process, and there is a cost attached to it. There are no shortcuts to achieving God's call for your life. I think of two people in the Bible. I think of Abraham. God calls Abraham and gets him from a place of comfort. He was comfortable with his people, worshiping other gods. And God says, go to a place I'm going to show you. It's a little bit uncomfortable to make a journey whose destination you don't know. That was Abraham. And he went with his wife and he made one error. He carried his nephew Lot along with him. Because later we see what happens. So Abraham gets there. God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a father of nations. But while he was there, his wife couldn't bear children. They became old. They couldn't have children. It just looked like this is not going to be possible. And then while God was blessing Abraham, he blessed Lot as well. And at some point it created a tension. Listen, young people. When God begins to bless you, never despise your fathers. Because they've carried you along the way to that place where now you're being blessed. And we have young people today who, as soon as they start to be blessed, they start to ignore their fathers. Don't do that. Learn from Lot. He ended up in a place where he was destroying his life. So anyway, Abraham pays the price of leaving a place of comfort to the unknown. And he gets there. It's a desert. And God is blessing him. But he doesn't have children. At some point, he tried to shortcut God's plan and had another child with a maid looking after his home. And that also became a problem. Later, God blessed him with the promise, and that was Isaac. You know what that tells me? As we pursue God's call and paying the price, we may falter along the way, make mistakes, but God is a God of grace. He still carries on if our hearts are connected to his call. So he blesses Abraham with Isaac. He's so happy. This is a child of their old age and the fulfillment of the promise. And then God says, I want you to sacrifice Isaac. The cost of the call. How many of you are willing to sacrifice a breakthrough? You've believed God and God has answered. And then God says, I want you to sacrifice that. That's what was happening for Abraham. Abraham was willing to pay the price. That is an extreme price. To sacrifice your only child of promise. And he walked that journey. And on that hill, as he lifted up that knife, before he drove it through his son of promise, God says, now I can see, Abraham, you are willing to pay the price. And instead of sacrificing your son, I'm going to give you a lamb. And that day God revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. That's who our God is. When you pay the price, and you're willing to pay the cost, you know what God does? God says, I see a heart that is willing to be sacrificial, and I'm going to come through for them no matter what. Because sometimes we think about the cost, We only think about the part that we have to carry. But God is always saying, I want those kinds of people who are willing to pay the price. I think about Jesus. When it comes to our salvation, it wasn't cheap, my friends. Jesus, the Son of God, had to pay a price. And if you think about the price he had to pay, I mean, go to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is there. And the description from one of the Gospels, I think it's Luke, who said he was sweating. And this was not sweat from a workout. Some of us sweat when we work out. Oh, you go to a sauna or you're under our African sun and you're sweating. This was sweat for the cost and the price he had to pay. And Luke says it was as though it was drops of blood. And right there, Jesus knew what he was supposed to do. And as a human being, it was so much for him. And he said, God, my Father, if you can take the price, which he called a cup of suffering, take it away from me, because it's too much. But he ended that prayer with what all of us must say when it comes to the price. Not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours. I'm willing to pay the price. Jesus had his friends with him. His friends fell asleep while he was praying. Because here's the thing. Paying the price, the cost of the call, can sometimes get you to a place where you're alone. And it's lonely. Nobody understands. But here's the beautiful thing. God's call is yours. The price to be paid is unique for every single one of us. Be willing to pay the price and watch God launch you into your destiny. No shortcuts to a life of significance. Be willing to pay the price. What does Jesus say in Luke chapter 14? Luke chapter 14 from verses 25 to 33. It says large crowds were traveling with Jesus. And it's amazing. Crowds love to follow, but not many are willing to pay the price. So large crowds were following, traveling with Jesus. And then Jesus turned to them and said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Whoa. Can you imagine if you're part of that crowd? I don't think anybody shouted to Jesus, said, come on, preach, yeah, keep going. Because when you think about what Jesus, hate mother, hate father, hate your wife, hate your, Jesus was not advocating for hate for family. He wasn't. But he had a way of illustrating using things that were dearest to us. Are we willing to kiss them? Goodbye. And then he carries on. And then he says, and whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. He's talking about the cost. Now, when Jesus said, whoever does not carry their cross, he didn't mean go to a jewelry shop and buy a golden cross to carry. They understood the cross because in those days, the cross was a symbol of death, execution in a public way that was shameful. So Jesus was saying, hey, Are you ready to die and be shamed by people just for me? That's the cost he was talking about. Then in verse 28, he starts to talk about things that are close to our hearts, dreams and desires. How many of you want to build something big someday? Many of us. So Jesus understands that. And so he starts to say to them, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down, estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you. They will laugh at you. And they will say, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. In other words, if you try to pursue God's call without counting the cost, it ends up as a disaster. Ends up as a disaster. There is a cost attached to the call. Jesus then continues and he says, or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down, consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he will send a delegation. He will change strategy while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace because he has counted the cost. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything, you cannot be my disciples. If you're not willing to pay the price, you cannot be my disciples. My friends, the past 40 years of Watoto have had multiple prices paid. Some are captured in the book, others are not even captured there. What we see today came at a cost. It just didn't happen. It's interesting how people want to achieve the success that took 40 years for someone to build in 4 days. They're not willing to pay the price. We cannot be that generation. A price was paid to where we are today. A price will be paid for the next 40 years. The price that Gary and Marilyn and the people that started the church who were there with him and that generation paid is different from the price you and I who are alive today are going to pay for the future. In order to pursue that call that God has for us, we must be willing to count the cost and pay the price. This is true for the church, but it's also true for you. If you want to start a generation in your family, of a God-honoring family, there's a price you're going to pay. Let me talk about three costs that we have to incur as we pursue the future, but also that have really been a part of our journey. It's going to cost us time and selfless service. Time and selfless service. It takes time to build a life of significant influence. It takes time to build brick by brick what we now call Watoto Church. It's 40 years. I love it when some pastors tell me, I want to talk to Pastor Gary. And I remember a couple of years ago, and I would make the appointment, and Gary would say, come in and let's sit. And I would ask Gary, Pastor Gary, what's the secret of building a church like Watoto. You know what was in the pastor's heads? Give me 3 keys that I can walk out now, and by next month, I've tripled my numbers. Gary would listen and he would begin to talk about things they didn't want to hear. How are you dealing with your personal finances? How are you dealing with God's people's finances? How are you stewarding your relationships? Are you pure? I want the other keys. That's okay, but I want the other ones. No shortcuts. It takes time and selfless service. I want to thank people who volunteer their hours to serve here at Watoto. Many. They come very early in the morning. They are cleaning. They are making sure this place is safe. So that when you come to church, you have a great experience with God. Those are hours they are giving in. Those who host cell, those who lead cell, every seat, those who clean the toilets. I mean, it is amazing. I think about one of our elders, Dunstan, who is the CEO of YSAVE, a very successful cooperative right now. When he was a young man, gave his heart to Jesus, came and started serving in the church, and he was telling the story. Gary taught him how to play drums. He learned how to play drums, and he was among the first people who played drums here at church. It was in a Sunday morning. It was pouring heavy rain. Few people in church, a few who came to serve, and Gary and Marilyn, in fact, Marilyn, who tells the story. While the band was getting ready up here, nobody on the drums, and Marilyn said, "I know Dunstan is going to come because I can count on him." And as they waited and waited a little bit, about 10 minutes to the service, here comes Dunstan. Those days, there were only 3 cars parked in the parking lot. Pastor Gary's missionary car that he was given, and two other people who came. So on a bicycle, in the heavy rain, Dunstan shows up with the polythene bag in which he had put his clothes so he can be decent on the stage, shows up, drenching. And he ran to the toilet so he can change, you know, into his Sunday church clothes to come and serve. Those are people who have paid a price, given their time. He wasn't being paid to serve. You know what God is looking for today? The new Dunstans. Today, who are willing to pay the price for the future we have. And we see Uncle D now, we call him, leading probably the most successful circle in the country. And we're like, how did you do it? He understands cost. Time, selfless service. Here's what Hebrews says. Hebrews 6 says this, "For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers as you still do." Time, self-service. The second aspect when it comes to the cost for the call is financial. And as I talk about finances, I want to start by thanking you, Watoto family. You have been very faithful in giving to God's work. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And for those who have been part of the journey for years and you've been giving and faithfully giving so we could buy this building and buy the parking lots and buy the campuses. And a number of us have been a part of it. Listen, I want to thank you. Wadodo Church is among probably the most generous churches in this country. It is. And every year we come before you, we share with you the things we are planning to do, and you give faithfully. And we come back and give an account. Say, here's what, you know, by the grace of God, we all gave. And here's what we have done with what you gave. And we are accountable. Because the reason we're accountable is this. First, we know we're going to stand before God on how we steward the finances that God entrusts us with. But secondly, we never take for granted your giving. We know you have worked hard. And you have bought into the vision. And you're giving to see that we can carry on God's work to reach more people. And we honor that. And so when we come before you and give an account, there's somebody as we give an account and said, of this amount that you gave, we have used this. This is the amount that is left. Here are the things we want to do. This person came to me after one of those meetings, said, whoever declares they have a balance. As you people know, you must make sure you somehow don't declare there's a balance because people don't give. We are not on a manipulation game. We are here pursuing God's call. We believe in the people of Watoto. They believe in the call. By the way, this is for people in Watoto, but globally, there are thousands of people that have said, we want to be a part of what God is doing at Watoto. You see some of them here. And here's the thing. It is everyday people making sacrifices for the sake of the call. That's what it is. So I want to ask you, are you faithful when it comes to your finances and honoring God? Be faithful to Him. I think of Jesus' story where He was in the synagogue and He was watching. And as people were giving, Jesus was watching what, you know, the giving. You know, we give with our baskets here, the bags that go around. The ushers only see the bags going around, but they don't see what is going in. Jesus' eyes could see what was going in. He knows, okay. And then a little lady came and gave all she had. And Jesus took a pause and used it as a teaching moment when it comes to finances. And He said, this woman has given more than any of you. The Pharisees were shocked because the Pharisees were giving amounts for sure. This woman gave from a sacrificial heart. When it comes to giving, my friends, it's not about the amount. It's about the heart of sacrifice. All of us are different places in life. And so it's just about where is your heart in giving? Is it sacrificial? Or is it like the Pharisees? We just give for sure. We give out of our hearts. Sacrificially. That's why at Watoto, we don't have a section for those who give a certain amount. You sit right here. Then a second tier, you sit that side. Then another one, those who are giving another amount upstairs. Then there are others we put in the overflow. And no, that's not how we are. Because here we value every single one of you. We know in your heart of hearts you're coming to honor God. So it costs finances to fulfill a call. It does. And I want to thank you for being faithful in your giving. Finally, when it comes to the cost we got to pay, there's going to be hardship and persecution. Here's the thing, my friend. Anytime you say yes to God's call, you know what you're saying yes to? You're also saying yes to being an enemy of Satan. The moment you say yes, Satan begins to fight you. And so I know sometimes in our pursuit of God's call, we face challenges, hardships, persecutions. Things begin to turn around us in a negative way. And we are asking ourselves, am I really in the place God wants me to be? Listen, you are. And the challenges you're facing are because Satan is afraid of the future God has for you. And he's trying to deter you from pursuing this call. So when you're going through those hard times, endure them. Don't give up. It was hard when Pastor Gary was attacked by those robbers and they came, put them on gunpoint, asked them to leave as a family, and they asked themselves, should we still be here? And God said, remain during the war. And they stuck around. Look at what God has done. It was tough, but they endured through. I remember our pastors, the first pastors, who are now in Boyogere, Joe and Jackie, when God called us to plant Juba, they were right there building a church from a garage to a hotel room. It was beginning to grow. War erupted. They were in church doing practice and bullets start going off. They ran with their kids back home and it was tough. They passed dead bodies because it was a season, the first civil war that was happening. And Joe called me. He was on the phone. He said, Pastor, the guns are going off. We've left the Kara church. We're running home. And I could hear in the background. And I prayed with him. I was in Kampala. There's nothing much I could do. And I was like, God, help us evacuate them. And it was a church member that decided to charter a flight. Get them out of Juba. They came back. And when they landed here, we were praying. Joe said, we are there in Juba on a call. This is not the time to desert the people of Juba. In 2 weeks, he went back. And he began to gather the people who are around. There's a cost to it. With hardship and persecution, stay faithful. Here's what the scripture says. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It is not in vain. Endure the hardship. Endure the persecution. We have witnesses who have done the same, and God has honored them. As Pastor Brian comes, I'll read Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 and 3 says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That race is the call of God on us. We fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the pioneer. He's the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He scorned its shame. He was willing to carry it. And today, he sat down at the right hand of God, on the throne of God. And he says in verse 3, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. There's a cost, but it is worth paying the cost. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@wachotochurch.com. Hey, hey, hey.